Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Travis Lee, and I am the Director of Discipleship and Student Ministries. Today we're going to talk about pride. So if you would, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke is the third book in the New Testament. And if you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. We have it up on the screen. So let's get into it. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed herself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Awesome. I love that scripture, and I've been studying it for quite some time now. And so like I said, my name's Travis Lee. I'm the Director of Discipleship and Student Ministries. And for those of you that are new here, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And also, something new, this is very new to me. This is actually my first time preaching. So if anybody would like to have a cup of coffee, we have free coffee in the back. Feel free, have as much as you want. I promise there's nobody that's going to be more jittery than me today. So, just reading the scripture, I just kind of want to ask you, think about for a second, what comes to mind when you read the scripture, when you read about this Pharisee and this tax collector? What are some thoughts you have? As I was reading it, my thoughts were, well, thank God I'm not like the Pharisee, right? I would think, God, thank you that I'm not like this Pharisee. Thank you that I'm more humble than he is, right? And so, I don't know. I just kind of found that pretty funny that I started thinking these things, that I was beginning this by comparing myself to the Pharisee and thinking that I was more humble than him and that I am more like this tax collector, that I'm humble and that I'm going before God, like in this way. A few months ago, back in probably March or so, Brian comes up to me and he says, Travis, I think it's time that we start getting you in the preaching thing, and that you give a sermon. And I thought, okay, awesome. I've really never done this before. And he says, we're gonna do a summer series on the seven deadly sins, and I would love for you to do one of the sins. And I thought, awesome, you know, like that's what I was telling him. I was like, okay, yeah, Brian, let's do this. But inside, I was thinking, oh, this is not good, Brian. Don't give me gluttony and have to admit to everyone that I still have a midnight snack every once in a while. Or, Brian, don't give me sloth and have to admit to myself that I would still rather binge watch a series on Netflix than do something productive with my weekend. Or, Brian, please don't make me talk on greed and admit the fact that I still struggle with tithing and I still struggle with clicking the submit button every week, you know, and giving 10%. And so then he says, Travis, I'm going to have you do the topic of pride. And I thought, oh, thank God, I don't struggle with pride. That's not something I deal with. And so then I'm going about my time, and I'm about to start studying and getting ready and preparing my sermon. And I sit down, and that thought comes back to me, and I think, what in the world? I don't struggle with pride. Like, how arrogant is that for me to think? How, we good? Is it? Oh, sorry, guys. Just how arrogant is that for me to think that I don't actually struggle with pride? And so, I'm saying all this, I'm not trying to bring the mood down. I'm not trying to, I'm not coming out here and confessing everything to you guys. I'm not saying, here's my life, you know, take it for what it is. But I'm out here telling you this so that you know that this series on the seven deadly sins and what we've talked about over these past few weeks has been as much for me as it has been for you guys. And that as I'm talking about pride today, that this is as much for me as it is for you all. I want you to know that I'm on your level, that I'm here talking about these things and learning about these things, and that I'm understanding it with you. And I hope that I can convey what I've learned over the past few months, and that I can just talk about it with you. I kind of want to start off, what is pride? I don't know. Is this it? Yeah. I looked it up. I just want to start with the definition of pride and what exactly pride is. And pride is a feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, or to be particularly proud of a particular quality or skill. I'm pretty proud of the fact that I can say particular twice like that and not get tongue-tied. But that's the definition I found. And so what I found pride to be is it's arrogant self-worship, right? So it's kind of, maybe we've had some prideful moments ourselves. Like, you know, maybe, you finally had a great day at the golf course, or maybe you beat out your colleague for a promotion, you know, and you're starting to feel really good about yourself. You're starting to feel really good about, what you're doing and the achievements that you've had. Or maybe fellas, you were finally right. so exactly, foolish pride. So what I'm learning is that pride is arrogant self-worship. Pride is this sense of achievement on your own. It is the proud are in love with themselves, and they'll take credit for anything and everything. If they put their hand to it, doesn't matter if they were on a team or by themselves, they're going to take credit for this achievement and what they've done. They want to make sure, the prideful want to make sure that you recognize what I've done, what I do. So as we see in the story, as we read about what's going on, we see that the Pharisee is very much doing this, and he's listing off his accomplishments and just boasting very much. And so I found this commercial, this video, that I think does a great job of describing what pride is. And so let's take a look.
Problem, your credit's in pretty good shape.
Pretty good? I know I have a 798 FICO score, thanks to the tools and help on Experian.com. Kaboom.
Well, I just have a few other questions.
Chuck, the only other question you need to ask is, what else can you do for me?
I'll just take a water.
Get your credit swagger on. Become a member of Experian Credit Tracker and find out your FICO score powered by Experian. FICO scores are used in 90% of credit decisions.
Knowing you go beyond your name.
Father God, we come to you today just with humility in our hearts, and just we just want so bad to worship you today, Father. We want to give all glory to you today. And God, I just ask that you open our hearts, open our minds to further teaching of today, that we may come out of this closer to you, that we may draw closer to you and learn more about your character. And it's in your name, Jesus. Amen. At this time, we would like to release our kids to Revolution Kids Church. So going back to the video for a second, I don't know what a 798 FICO score is, but I sure would like to know. So if you do know, please tell me afterward. I would like to learn more about credit since I'm married now. I think that's probably something important that I should probably learn about. So anyway, the commercial reminds me so much of the Pharisee, and I feel like, you know, the woman in the commercial, she's showing her phone to the guy, and she's saying, no, it's not what I can do for you, it's what you can do for me. Boom, look at my accomplishments, look at what I've done. You know, and she kind of starts, she gets like, she just goes out of there all arrogant, proud of herself for this huge accomplishment. And I think that's, in a lot of ways, the same way that the Pharisee is. You know, he's not so much praying to God as he is boasting to God. He's not praying to God. He's letting God be the audience, right? He's showing his list of accomplishments, and he's just full of himself, and he knows, God, look at what I've done. Look at how amazing I am. And, you know, really, I don't even need to praise you. I just need to praise myself for how amazing and how awesome I am. So going back to the scripture, going back to the verse, we notice, I find it pretty interesting, in verse 11, it goes, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. And I find it really interesting that the Pharisee stood before God. It says that the Pharisee stood before God and that he went before God. And I just find that so interesting, because when I think of postures of prayer, standing isn't exactly at the top of the list, right? When I'm thinking of praying, usually I'm thinking of being on my knees or bowing or kneeling, or just, you know, sometimes people even just full on lay on the floor just in worship to God, that, you know, in his presence, like, God, I can't even stand before you. So my hope is that, you know, when I get the opportunity to meet God, you know, when my time comes and I meet God, I hope that I'm not standing before him, right? I don't think I'm going to be standing before God when that time comes. And so I just found that really interesting. So, because like that's just never been a way that I imagine my posture before God. So also in verse 12, another key thing that I found was verse 12 goes, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And so what the Pharisee is doing here is he's listing off his accomplishments. You know, like I said, he's going before God and he's saying, God, I've done all this. And what I find interesting is it's almost like he's giving his checklist before God, right? Have we ever done that? Have we ever, you know, taken out our checklist and said, okay, I went to church this week, I tithed, I even gave an hour of my time to service and worship of you, God. I've done everything that you're requiring of me. So now I'm justified in what I'm doing. You know, I'm earning my way to your kingdom, right? And like, just how wrong is that for us to think that we can earn our way to heaven, that we can earn our way through a checklist to encounter God in that way? And so I don't know, I just think that pride puts us kind of in that mindset sometimes, that we think that we can earn our way to God. And then also something else I've noticed about pride is that it keeps us from asking for help. You know, I'm sure that this Pharisee had some problems going on in his life. I'm sure that there was things that he probably could ask God to help him with, But he wasn't. He was instead going through his checklist and saying how amazing he is. But how often do we let our pride keep us from asking help? You know, maybe you have a financial situation that you just don't see any way out of, but you're too proud, you're too full of yourself to ask for help, you know? Or maybe you finally realize that maybe you do have marriage issues and that you can't work on them on your own, that between you and your spouse, that's just not enough, and that maybe you do need counseling, but your pride is keeping you in the way of that. You're not willing to admit it to your spouse or to God to ask for help. Or, you know, maybe you just have trouble at work, but you want to stick through with it. You want to stick it through and just to the end and say, I got this, you know. And it should never be, I got this. It should be that God has got this. Right. So something that I love, you know, going back to the Pharisee for a second, he was a Jewish scholar. You know, he is the best of the best within the Jewish culture at that time. And he knew the scriptures forwards and backwards. He knew all 613 laws. He followed them, understood them. And, you know, so he would keep all these laws. He knew the scriptures. He had them memorized, which, you know, like the Old Testament, he would have that memorized. He would know that, which is just amazing to me. But so I find in Deuteronomy 8:14, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And I go to that verse because what I find interesting is I really think that this is what happened to the Pharisee. You know, he became proud. He became proud of his accomplishments, proud of what he's doing, and he forgot God. He's not going up to the temple to praise God. He's going up to the temple to praise himself because he doesn't even understand the character of God anymore. He doesn't even understand who God is, and he's praying to himself, and he's boasting in himself, and I just love what Deuteronomy says. It says, you will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, and I just think it's so important that we understand what pride can lead to. It can lead to us forgetting who God is. It can lead to us forgetting the character of God and who it is we're called to follow to begin with. And I think that this is why they call pride the most dangerous of all sins. You know, it's for this reason that pride leads us to forgetting who God is. And so this one time, this young lady, she went up to her pastor, and she said, Pastor, I've got a problem, like, I just can't help it. She says, I go to church every Sunday morning, but I just can't help thinking that I'm the prettiest, most beautiful girl here. And she goes, I know that this is a problem, and I know it's a sin, and I know I shouldn't think this, but I just can't help it. And she says, Pastor, can you help me? And the pastor replies, Jessica, don't worry, in your case, it's not a matter of sin, it's just a mistake of perception. Pastor brings some truth, I love it. So how often is this the case, though, that we begin to maybe misunderstand what it is we should be proud of in ourselves anyway? Like, maybe you think you're the best at the golf course, or maybe you think that you really did beat out your colleague for that promotion and that you're proud of yourself for it. Or, you know, maybe you had a great day playing basketball. I'm sorry for all the sports analogies. I love sports. So you're just, anytime I'm up here, you're probably going to hear a few, but, you know, so how often though, is it the case that you don't even have a reason to be proud of yourself to begin with, that you shouldn't be proud of yourself? Like, it's just a mistake of perception, that the way you perceive yourself isn't the reality of it. You're kind of in this dream world, and so you're proud of yourself for no reason at all as it goes. And so I love that. It's a funny little joke, and I just think it does a great job of kind of getting the point across. And so how often, you know, this mistake of perception, how often does it lead to comparing yourself to your colleague, comparing yourself to your roommate, to your spouse, to your best friend or, you know, whoever, like, how often do you compare yourself and say that I am better than he is or I am better than she is? And the problem with that is when you begin to compare yourself to others, when you begin to put yourself above others, you're obviously putting them beneath you. And when you're putting someone beneath you, you've already begun to think less of them, less of who they are, less of their character, and you're putting yourself above them. And so then what that leads to, what I've even struggled with, is you begin to compare yourself to God. You begin to compare yourself to the creator of the universe, and you think, I've got a better way than he does. And you begin to put God beneath you. And this is what this is clearly what the Pharisee has done. He's put God beneath him. And he said, God, I am, he's basically saying, God, I'm better than you are. So Dwight L. Moody, he was a missionary to China. And if you know me at all, you know that I spent a little bit of time there. And so I looked up to this guy. I've read a lot about him, and he's been really interesting to learn about. And he has this quote, and it goes, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. And I just find that pretty interesting. And I think it just sums up so perfectly what's going on in Scripture. This is exactly what happened with the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee went to God full of himself. And the tax collector comes to God with nothing. And so I love that. And what this does when you are full of yourself like this, you just have a difficulty of giving up the worship to God. You just have a struggle. You struggle with worshiping him. Like, we may be even sitting here in service today and, you know, we're singing these songs and having a great time and learning more about God, but you could just be worshiping yourself through it, you know? And so I think I've done the best I can with hitting the nail on the head with the Pharisee and talking about this pride issue. And so next I would like to talk about the tax collector, and I have this video to kind of introduce it. So let's just take it.
What a stand, my man. Way to go. You're doing just terrific. Ready to play? Come on, let's go. All right, so our contestant is John Carpenter, comes to us from Hamden, Connecticut. Wife Debbie in the audience. Hi, Debbie. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
And this should make you a real crowd favorite. John works for the IRS. We've never had a contestant booed. Now, let me make it easier for you. He works in collection for the IRS. Oh, come on. They're kidding, John. We all love you.
I'm taking names. It's all right.
Okay, John, you know about...
Throughout history, it's amazing to me, throughout history, for over 2,000 years, tax collectors have been the most popular people in the world. It's never changed, has it? They've continuously stayed the most hated person. And it's pretty true of Jesus's time, too. You know, I'd say a tax collector in Jesus' time would probably get a little more than a boo, you know, from an audience. So I just kind of wanted to kind of, you know, put you in the mindset of, and let you understand how popular the tax collectors are now and then. And so we're talking about the tax collector, and we see how he's already not popular. He's already hated. He's considered unclean, you know, because he deals with Roman money. And so he would be considered a person who is filthy and unclean in Jewish culture. And so, you know, the Pharisees would have nothing to do with him. You know, like, just, they would never want to be around these tax collectors. So it's kind of funny, though, in the video, the guy actually went on to win $1 million, and he did it pretty arrogantly. But I think the tax collector that we're learning about today isn't so arrogant, if not one of the more humble people that we get to read about in Scripture. And so We'll go where we left off, and I would love to just kind of go over verse 13, and it goes, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I find that so cool, so interesting. because he's admitting who he is. But what's really interesting to me is it says that the tax collector is standing afar off. So imagine with me for a second that this is a temple, that this is the Jewish temple, and that so the Pharisee would be up here toward the front, right? He would just be just boasting and praying to himself up here near the front. And the tax collector, as it says, he's standing afar off. So he would kind of just barely be through the threshold of the door in the back, you know, just kind of creeping in. You know, maybe some of you have kind of been in that situation where you know you need to go to church, but you're just kind of, I'm just going to hang out. I don't really want to meet anybody. I just kind of want to do my thing. Just, you know, hear what the preacher has to say. And so he'd be afar off in the distance, and he would just be praying. And then, but what I find is that what Jesus is saying in the scripture is he's not wanting to draw close to God, right? I think that's kind of what the point that Jesus is making is he's standing afar off. He's not drawing near his father. He's not drawing near to his dad. And he doesn't fully yet understand who God is and that his father loves him so much and has nothing but grace and mercy for him. And so also another thing that it said in verse 13 was that he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who here has been guilty before? Who here has ever been caught in a lie or been proven wrong or been caught in doing something that I saw and caught doing something that they know they shouldn't be doing? And what's your immediate response when that happens? You look down. You will not look your accuser in the eye because you know you're guilty. You know you're wrong and you're admitting it, but you just can't bring your head up to look the person in the eye. And it says that he has his head down. His eyes are down. He's not looking up to his father is kind of what I'm taking away from that. And so it seems like the tax collector is kind of understanding God to be his accuser. And he's saying, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm guilty. I'm sorry. And he's just, you know, here. And God's looking at him saying, I love you. You know, you're my son. I love you. And so that just, it just strikes me that we see these two very different personalities with the Pharisee boasting, standing before God. You know, his chest is probably out and he's just before God like this. And then the tax collector is standing afar off and he won't even look up to heaven. And it also said that he would beat his breast, and I didn't quite understand that at first. Like, you know, sometimes, like, if I play basketball or something, if I hit a three-pointer or, you know, if I ever dunk one day, you know, I would probably beat my breast, right? Like, I would just be like, just this is the most awesome thing ever. But what I was learning about in this culture, in this time, is that beating your breast is a sign of mourning. It's a sign of just deep sadness. And so, you know, so then it just kind of an aha moment. It made sense to me. The tax collector is beating his breast in mourning. He's so deeply saddened that he's beating his breast. And we don't really see that very often in scripture where you read about somebody beating their breast out of sadness or mourning. So, you know, just to kind of get back on the topic of pride and what we've been learning about, I love C.S. Lewis. And if you've ever heard of him, you may know that he wrote Chronicles of Narnia, The Great Divorce, Screwtape Letters is one of my personal favorites, and Mere Christianity are some of his most popular works. If you haven't had a chance to read up on him, I really encourage you to read one of his books. And so C.S. Lewis said, pride is there when we feel our religion is making us better than the next person, and it is the work of the devil, not of God. And I find that so interesting because I really think that this is the character of the Pharisee and what he's been talking about. Because the Pharisee isn't doing the work of God in boasting about himself or even the accomplishments that he's done for God, right? He's boasting in himself to draw attention to himself. And even by comparing himself to the tax collector or these other just not so great people, these sinners. And what C.S. Lewis is saying is, it's the work of the devil. And I really think that's true. I think it's pretty true that whenever you begin to boast in yourself that you're not doing the work of God anymore. You know, you're not drawing attention to God anymore. You're drawing attention to yourself. And so the tax collector, he prays and he waits. And Jesus says that he left the temple justified. And justify, it's a word that means cleansed of sin, and he's declared righteous. So we are only declared righteous by God's work, not our own. You know, this righteousness, this justification is not something that we can earn. It is only given to us. It can only be given to us. And so Jesus says he left the temple justified. And so, you know, the Pharisee returns home no different than when he entered the temple. And the tax collector returns home a different man, a renewed man, a forgiven man, a man with the peace that only God can bring. And so if you want to talk about this further with me, I really encourage you, please see me after service. I'd love to talk to you more. This is something that I've become pretty passionate about, and I'd love to pray for us. Father God, thank you for this morning and just the opportunity that we have to praise and worship you and learn more about your character and just who it is that you are, God. I ask that you just continue to open us to this idea of humility, this idea of being humble, and that we just get to learn more about your character, more about who you are, and that we may begin today in praising you and worshiping you and loving you and stripping us of ourselves. We love you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.